Good morning. The scripture today comes from Psalm 88, verses 1 through 18. Lord God of my salvation, by day I cry out, even at night before you. Let my prayers reach you. Turn your ear to my outcry, because my whole being is filled with distress. My life is at the very brink of hell. I am considered as one of those plummeting into the pit. I am like those who are beyond help, drifting among the dead, lying in the grave like dead bodies, those you don't remember anymore, those who are cut off from your power. You placed me down in the deepest pit, in places dark and deep. Your anger smothers me. You subdue me with it, wave after wave, Selah. You've made my friends distant. You've made me disgusting to them. I can't escape. I'm trapped. My eyes are tired of looking at my suffering. I've been calling out to you every day, Lord. I've had my hands outstretched to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do ghosts rise up and give you thanks, Selah? Is your faithful love proclaimed in the grave, your faithfulness in the underworld? Are your wonders known in the land of darkness, your righteousness in the land of oblivion? But I cry out to you, Lord. My prayer meets you first thing in the morning. Why do you reject my very being, Lord? Why do you hide your face from me? Since I was young, I've been afflicted. I've been dying. I've endured your terrors. I'm lifeless. Your fiery anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They surround me all day long like water. They engulf me completely. You've made my loved ones and companions distant. My only friend is darkness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
For our guests this morning, our Lenten focus has been a series that is making the movement between weeping and dancing that happens in our lives. We all know that life has a tendency to reward us, and life also has a tendency to wound us as well. And we can often find ourselves in that movement between, sometimes trapped in our weeping, but that's not really where God wants us to be. God also wants us to dance in our lives. And so how do we make that movement from the weeping that transpires to being able to dance? How do we move beyond the visible wounds that we carry or the invisible wounds that no one sees? The dark clouds that may follow us overhead, or as Allie preached on last week, the deep waters that surround us. This week we're going to consider what it means to live with dense walls that feel like they are our trap, that ensnare us, but also separate us. The dense walls that separate us from God and maybe separate us from one another as well. I'm guessing that all of us, if not every single one of us, knows that we live in a world that is filled with dense walls. Turn on your TV on a news channel and watch for about 5 minutes and you'll probably pick up pretty quickly that we live in a very separated, divided world, especially in our own culture. And in that, I wonder, how does the world ever experience hope or healing, and what is the role of the church when it comes to the proclamation of something that could be different, a vision of a different world? In 1957, a young 16-year-old formed a skiffle band. How many of you know what skiffle music is? Besides Dale and Reese, they learned that term this morning. Anybody else know what a skiffle band is? Well, a skiffle band is a genre of music that incorporates jazz, blues, folk, and roots music and is often played on homemade or improvised instruments. So in 1957, this 16-year-old formed this skiffle band and several of his friends from the Quarry Bank School joined him. Now, for a brief period of time, they called themselves the Blackjacks, but then they moved on to another name. They went by the Quarrymen as their name. A few months into this, a 15-year-old rhythm guitarist came and tried out for the group, and they invited him to play with them. And he had a 14-year-old friend that he invited to also try out. Now, the leader of the band was very impressed with the 14-year-old, but thought he was a little too young to play in a band and to go to the places that they were going to play. But after some pressure and some constant agonizing over this, the band leader gave in and let the 14-year-old join as well. They changed their name from the Quarrymen to Johnny and the Moondogs. Boy, that's a fun one, huh? Could you imagine putting that on an album cover, Johnny and the Moondogs, right? Over time, they picked up a couple of new members. They began touring, and eventually they settled on a name. They moved from the Quarrymen to Johnny and the Moondog to the Silver Beatles to finally just the Beatles. From the late 1950s to the early 1960s, the band spent a lot of time traveling between Liverpool and Hamburg, Germany. They were contracted to play with a certain number of clubs in Hamburg. There was a gentleman there that represented them and had them under contract for that period of time. In December of 1962, though, their contract ended, and they began to solidify more their membership, their songwriting partnerships, and their singing roles as a band, and decided that they ought to become a little bit more of a professional act. So they stopped eating, swearing, and smoking on stage, and began wearing proper trousers, as one of the band members said. So they started dressing a little bit differently. Year by year, the band grew in popularity and acclaim. It began to spread worldwide. In February of 1964, the Beatles left the United Kingdom and landed in New York at JFK. The British had invaded the colonies once again, and we had no warning whatsoever, right? They made their first live appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. 73 million Americans watched that performance. 34% of the American population at that time watched the Beatles perform on the Ed Sullivan Show. They then went on to play at the Washington Coliseum. The next day they played two shows at Carnegie Hall. And before they went back to the United Kingdom, they had a second appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show where only a mere 70 million people watched their second performance. August 29th, 1966, the Beatles played their last commercial concert at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. It marked the end of a four-year non-stop worldwide musical tour that had 1,400 concerts across the globe. The band went into their studio recording process then. They produced several singles that topped the music charts, as we all know. They recorded 12 studio albums with titles like A Hard Day's Night, Help, Yellow Submarine, Abbey Road, Let It Be, and probably their most acclaimed, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. One of the most iconic covers ever photographed or produced is on that album. They also had movies and a cartoon series. How many of you remember watching the Beatles cartoon series on TV? Yeah, some of us do. Their movies were A Hard Day's Night, Help, Yellow Submarine, and All Together Now, kind of some documentaries as well as some spoof kind of movies that were in that. And then their Saturday morning cartoon, The Beatles. They're one of the most awarded bands in history. They have one Academy Award for Best Original Score for Let It Be, 7 Grammys, 15 Ivor Novello Awards. They have 6 diamond albums, 24 multi-platinum, 39 platinum, and 45 gold albums. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a group in 1988, but they're one of the few groups where each of them as individuals were also inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in subsequent later years. They're considered to be the best-selling musical group in all of history. Somewhere between 600 million and 1 billion units sold. And they continue to sell records and albums. In 2003, Rolling Stone produced what they called their Top 500 Greatest Albums of All Time list. The Beatles have 4 albums in the top 10 alone. Number 10 was their White Album, titled The Beatles. Number 5 was rubber sole. Number 3 was revolver. And number 1 was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. You should have got that already. In 2008, Billboard magazine ranked them as the most influential artist of all time. In 2014, they still held the number 1 record for the most hits on Billboard's Top 100 with 20. 20% of Billboard's Top 100s are Beatles songs. Time magazine included them in the 20th century's Top 100 most influential cultural icons and personalities. And in 2014, the group received the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. Now, in Beatles history, how many of you know what happened on December 31st of 1970? Anybody? Besides Dale and Reese. You guys have already heard this. Anybody know? Paul McCartney filed suit for the dissolution of the Beatles' contractual partnership. Paul McCartney no longer wanted to be a Beatle. And for 4 years, they wrangled through the courts until late 1974, the Beatles dissolved permanently. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, Ringo Starr all went their separate ways. One article said, and it was not Yoko Ono's fault. You know, that was the rumor. It was all her fault that this transpired. Actually, the article says that it was arguably the best band in rock and roll history who suffered from creative rivalries, bad business decisions, and egos that were too easily bruised. That was ultimately their demise. The dense wall that caused the separation of an iconic band. And many of the fans, you know, many of us fans, we longed for the day when the Beatles would get back together and they would start singing music together and traveling and recording together and producing new music. And we hoped that it might eventually happen. But then in 1980, John Lennon was assassinated. Later, George Harrison would die from cancer. And that dream fell by the wayside. The Beatles would never reunite again. And we know that. The struggles that they have had, even those that have survived this, the tension that just filled their relationship, the dense walls that built up for the Beatles. It's a rather lengthy story to illustrate maybe a simple point. And the simple point is this, that we can create or be victims of dense walls that we believe sometimes will permanently separate us from one another. We even see that sometimes in our relationship with God, that it becomes so fractured that it is beyond repair. It comes in the form of our relational breakups with one another and how our relationships deteriorate to the point that we no longer speak or see or even think or pray for one another. It comes in the economic moments where sometimes we collapse and things happen in our world that just pressures us. We feel like we're in a deep pit that we'll never be able to get out of. Social injustice in our world. Just think about the economic disparity and conflict that's going on just in our own culture, let alone the world around us. You see the dense walls of division that are so prevalent. Or maybe it's just simply in your understanding and your experience of God. That maybe God has caused or been absent when something has happened in your life that was traumatic. And of all personalities, of all influences that you wanted there to be there in the moment, you felt as if God was absent. And these dense walls that separate us. The psalmist, I think, accurately articulates how many of us can feel and perceive the presence of God and the separation from God. That we can be alone in these moments as described by the friends who are absent and the God who is no longer there or present. That we can remain in affliction and feel like it is constant. That there is no escape except maybe death. But darkness becomes our friend. The deep pit, our dwelling place. The psalmist names this isolation that dense walls can create for us, this separation between us and God or us and, and others around us. And yet, when we think about the broader witness beyond just this one simple compilation of 18 verses, when we think about the tradition and the story of God, the faith that we have in God, we also carry with that an image and an understanding that God can be present in our lives, that God can break through the denseness. We'll hear and we'll respond. We recall the story that in the beginning God overcame the density of chaos to create. It was God who called the patriarchs to a covenant relationship. It was God who heard the cry of an oppressed people in Egypt and delivered them. It was God who carried them through a time of wilderness and brought them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was God who watched over and blessed them, who watched over them even in their time of exile. It was God who would become one of us in the form of the Son. It was God who would suffer all the pain that we can experience in our lives. It was God who overcame the dense walls of a grave to create new life and resurrection. That's the God of our faith and our tradition. The God who can overcome dense walls. Dear friends, I would say to you today that that same God still remains, is still active in humanity today. That God hears the cry of the oppressed, the needy, and the abandoned who live in our communities. That God still breaks down the dense walls of separation that can exist in our own lives. That same God hears the cry of those of us who use the words of the psalmist, "O Lord, come and save me." Let me ask you this. Can I meddle for just a moment? Will you allow me to? If not, I'm going to anyway. So, think about it this way. What is the dense wall that's in your life today? What is the deep pit, the darkness, that sometimes you find yourself inhabiting and trying to overcome? What is it that has separated you from God or makes you feel like you're separated from God or maybe has separated you from someone in your life, another person? What causes you to weep? You know, certainly the Beatles will never be able to reunite. They're not going to be able to overcome the dense walls of separation that death has brought and their dysfunction has brought. But you know what? That's not your story today. That's not the story for many of us who are seeking God and a renewal of our relationship with God or a renewal of relationship with someone else. You see, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of ancient Israel, the God who became flesh and dwelt among us, the God who is ever present in the Holy Spirit, the God who lives and reigns forever, can overcome the dense walls that exist even today. Can turn your weeping into dancing. I wonder how many of us have simply taken the opportunity to cry out to God for deliverance. Here's what I hope that you hear today and maybe take away from this moment. That despite the successes that we can have in our lives, we can experience these dense walls of separation between us and God or between us and others. It's a part of our reality, our lives. The psalmist reminds us that in spite of these dense walls, God's love and power is not thwarted by them. God overcomes and God can be present. If we cry out to God, God will make himself known to us, present and overcoming. So here's your invitation for today. Something to think about as you go from this moment. Maybe you're wrestling with the question of what has separated me from God today. To be able to wrestle with that and know why it is that you feel the way that you do. And then to know that God has overcome that dense wall of separation. God does not desire for you to dwell in that space, but yet to dwell in His love and in His grace. To know that God is present with you today, simply cry out. And I believe that God will make Himself known. Or maybe to think about what has separated you from someone that you know and what it is that has caused that. And to remember that God has overcome our very sin, the things that have separated us from Him. God can overcome that separation in our human relationships as well. Probably most of us can't even remember why it is that we're separated from someone, where the argument even began, and yet it persists. Let God be the one to hear your cry today. Let God be the one to break down that dense wall, that barrier, and open a conversation that could be healing and reconciling. Because I think it's evident, dear friends, that we all live in a world that, as I said early on, has plenty of dense walls all of its own, many of them built up by us. They separate us from one another. They separate us from God. But it's time for the church, I believe, the church of Jesus Christ, to take action, to lead the way in crying out to God, who is our salvation, to show the world the character of God who dwells with us, loves us, and forgives and reconciles. To let God dissolve the dense walls that keep us separated from one another. Because God wants to turn not only our weeping into dancing, but wants to do so for all the world as well. So will you join me now in a moment of prayer? So, gracious and holy God, we come before you in this moment. For some of us, we may be struggling with or contemplating and thinking through just some of our own separation. Maybe what keeps us separated from you is just simple faith. Our experience hasn't been one where you've been active or present. We think of it from the scientific and the rational sense, and we try to conceive how you're active in our lives and in this world. We struggle with the images of pain and suffering and the division that is so prevalent in our society, in our news, and our media. Oh God, make your presence known to us today. Maybe just in this simple moment, we ask that your Spirit speak into the pit of our souls. For those of us who are seeking healing in a relationship, oh God, we ask that you help us to be persons who can take that bold first step, that can open up the lines of communication, that maybe can break down the walls and the barriers between. Lord, we pray that there might be receptive ears and hearts on the other end, and that whatever has separated us from those that are around us, those dense walls might be broken down, and our weeping might be turned to dancing. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen.